Bibles and go to the book of Genesis. If you're not quite sure where Genesis is, it's the first book of the Bible. So just open your Bible to the very first couple pages, you should be there. So Genesis chapter 12, though. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, read verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And let's pray. Father, again, we ask that you would bless our time. Father, please bless the reading of your word. Thank you, Father, that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God takes the word into our hearts. And Father, we ask that you would pierce our hearts this morning with the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, you would guide us by the truth of your word. As Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. I pray, Father, that you would guide us. Lord, encourage us. Whatever we need this morning, Father, I pray that you would meet the needs of your people. Again, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together. Lord, speak to the hearts of children like you did in Sunday school. Do it again in junior church, drawing them unto Jesus, the best friend that they can have through their entire lifetime. And thank you, Father, again for the relationship that we have with you because of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time. Give us understanding. Give us wisdom. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Faith for the Journey. Faith for the Journey. And as Abraham is called by God to leave his home, to leave a place where he grew up, to go and sojourn in the land of promise, in the land of Canaan, he had to do it by faith, trusting that God would guide his steps. I can only imagine on the day that God spoke to Abraham and said, you know, called him out from the Ur of the Chaldees and told him to, everywhere your foot steps, everywhere you walk, I'm going to give you this land. I can just imagine the day that he took off, not knowing where he was going, not knowing really what was going to happen, and maybe even his wife Sarai asking, where are we going? I don't know. We're just going where God said to go. We're just going to follow the Lord. Because the journey of faith, the journey of life takes faith for a Christian. We walk by faith, not by sight, but we are following someone who's leading us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Second title that I could give the message this morning, along with Faith for the Journey, is Overcoming the Unknown by Faith. Overcoming the unknown by faith, because again, it was unknown where all Abraham would end up going. It was unknown what all would entail in his journeys, what all would happen. And we're going to look at some of the things that happened on Abraham's journey, and we'll get to the end. The third thing we're going to end up looking at is the sacrifice that God asked Abraham to give. Because in order to have a journey of faith, there are things in our life that God will ask us to give to him to see if we're willing to give it up. And I want us to just think about it. It does take faith to follow the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, to remind us of what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if faith is not something we can see. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. We're hoping that God will work everything out. We're hoping that God will lead us in the right direction. Again, Abraham was told by God to come out and to go into a land that he would show him. So he had to walk by faith and sojourn in that land. But again, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seeing the outcome. Not seeing what's going to happen along the journey. But trusting the one who's called you, trusting the one who is leading you as the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God is on your side as a child of God, and God wants you to go in a direction, and that is to go forward following him. Now, along life's journey, we have to be reminded and keep Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 in our hearts and on the forefront of our minds, and that is, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, God is a rewarder to those that seek him. Every single person that will come to Christ and ask Christ to be their Savior, he promises not to reject anybody. But after that, after you've become a child of God, because not everybody is a child of God, you're only a child of God through Jesus Christ. But after you become a child of God, God has a life for you to live. He has a journey for you to travel on. And we have to travel this journey by faith, trusting the one we're following, and trusting that the one that we are believing in and following is the one that can guide us to the end of our journey according to his will and help us along that journey. But how many of us have realized that on this journey, there's difficulties. There's things we weren't expecting. 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road. I mean, there's all kind different ages in here. You've lived a certain amount of time and you've realized, this is not what I was expecting. Things happen. But as a child of God, we've come to realize God's always there. God's always helping us. God's always guiding us. And there's been times maybe where you've had to make a difficult decision and God helped you through it. Where you were kind of like, you know, between a rock and a hard place. You weren't quite sure what to do, but you leaned upon the Lord. You were trusting the Lord and he saw you through it. And we'll see that in Abraham's life. But again, this journey that we're on is a journey of faith. And our faith in Jesus Christ helps us to overcome the unknowns of life. Look at verses 1 through 3 of Genesis chapter 12. The first thing we see is that we have to have faith to follow. Faith to follow. Now, give me one second here. In verses 1 through 3, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I mean, God specifically tells Abraham what to do. Get away from your extended family. Get away from the country. Not that they were bad or anything. He wanted him to separate. It's time for you to follow me. It's time for you to go where I want you to go because I'm going to make a great nation from you. All right? So the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from my father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Listen, that has come to pass. All families of the earth have been blessed because of Abraham, because Jesus Christ comes from that line. Jesus Christ is the blessing to the world. But all families have been blessed because Abraham shows us it's faith.
It's faith in Jesus Christ. It was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness because he believed God. All right? But even nations have been blessed because they have blessed Israel. They've helped Israel. Our nation has been blessed from the very beginning because it was a nation that loved Israel and helped Israel. It kind of goes back and forth depending on who's in control of our nation during the presidency. But as a whole, we have been blessed as a nation because we were a Christian nation. We were founded upon God's principles. The Constitution, Declaration of Independence, all that is based upon God's word. And the men that were instrumental in writing those documents had a walk with God. Okay? So you've been blessed because of Jesus Christ. You've been blessed. And I've been blessed as well. But for Abraham and for us, God has called Abraham to leave a familiar place. Leave your familiar family. Leave your familiar surroundings. I want you to leave and go where I'm going to lead you. And it takes faith. Faith to follow. Faith to follow. In verse number one, we just see that really we need to exercise our faith when God calls us. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. So faith to follow, but we need to exercise the faith that God's given us by being obedient. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Obedience is the key to being blessed by God. And obedience is also the key to seeing great and mighty things that God will do in our lives and on our journey as we journey through this life. The rest of the verse says, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So again, he didn't know where he was going. He just knew this is what God wants me to do. God wants me to leave where I'm at and God's going to bless me. I mean, God even said, you're going to be blessed. I'm going to show you a land unto the land that I will show thee and give it to you. I want you to notice and listen to James chapter 1 in regards to obedience, faith in obeying God. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Abraham heard God say, I want you to leave. I want you to go where I'm going to take you. He still has to choose, what's he going to do? Is he going to obey what he's hearing? Or is he going to stay where he's at because, well, you know, most people want to know what the whole plan is before they do anything. And that's just natural tendency to want to know what's going to happen. When I take a trip, in fact, last year when we were able to finally take another trip down to Tennessee for a week as a family vacation, I scoured. I found the cabin we were going to stay in. I researched it. Made sure the accommodations would be good for the family. Everything we were going to do, and just we had it all mapped out. Everything we were going to take, everything that we would need. As you probably saw, we even took our cameras and stuff so we could do our daily devotions there in the mountains and get those recorded and all of that. But we planned for the trip, all right? Everything we needed for the trip. But one thing we didn't plan on was someone's car breaking down. When we got into town, now thankfully the car waited. I'm glad the car waited until we got into at least the town we were staying in, into a parking lot before it decided to die and we had to get it fixed. But again, I mean, you plan for your trips. You plan on what you're going to need. Abraham has no idea where he's going, how long he's going to be traveling. All he knows is he's not going back home. Now, we on our trip, we plan to go to Tennessee and we plan to come home, all right? Abraham has no idea where he's going, how long it's going to take to get there. But he's going to follow by faith because he's trusting the one who's guiding his life. He's trusting the one who is calling him to follow. And God does call us to follow him. In Proverbs chapter 3, reminding us of this verse that it takes trust to follow God by faith when you don't know what's going to happen, you don't know what the trip entails, you don't know any hardships that may come about or anything, but we're reminded in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We can put our faith in God that he will direct our steps. He will direct our path. We don't have to understand the whole journey, but we do need to realize and believe and put our faith in the one that's traveling with us, the one who's guiding us, the one who has a purpose for the journey that he's laid before us. And we can overcome the unknowns of the journey by faith in the one that we are obeying, the one we're trusting, and the one that we're following. Look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12. It says, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You know what? Expect God to do something on your journey. Expect God to do something on your journey because he's called you to this journey. You're a child of God this morning. He's placed you upon a path. There's a path he wants you to travel. There's things he wants you to do. There's things he's going to do in your life on your journey. Paul was able to say to Timothy, as he was trying to encourage Timothy in his walk with God, he told Timothy, I have finished my course. I finished my course with joy, the course that God gave him. We all are on different courses. We all have the same end, which is heaven, which is standing in front of Jesus Christ, but we all have our own paths that he wants us to travel down because there's different things in our life that he's going to do, different places he's going to take us, different people we're going to meet, different things he's going to use us for, but we're trusting him, we're following by obedience, and we're expecting God to do what he says he's going to do, all right? I'm not expecting him to do what I want. I'm expecting him to do what his will is because he tells Abraham, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Abraham's faith produced a friendship with God. Abraham's faith and our faith produces a friendship with God. Again, because we're told in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. God is pleased by faith, where we're just trusting, Lord, I know that you know what's best. Lord, I know that you know what you're doing. And Lord, I'm trusting you. And our friendship, because you know what? You probably have a friendship with somebody. Maybe you've had friendships in your lifetime where, you know what? You could really count on that friend. They were there for you. They were someone that would encourage you. Abraham, the greatest friend, obviously, we can have is God. Because God will never desert you. Even when you mess up, even when you make a mistake, God will still stay with you. God will still guide you. God will still help you. But Abraham's faith produced a great relationship and friendship with God. Listen to Isaiah 41 and verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. That's what God says of Abraham. Abraham, my friend. Abraham was a friend of God because Abraham walked with God. Abraham talked to God almost face to face on Mount Sinai. Now, he wanted to see God's glory, and God said, no, if you see my glory, you'll die. But God allowed, I'm sorry, this is Moses. My mind is, all right, anyway, think about Moses. Moses was a friend of God too, so I'll go with this. Moses was a friend of God too, and Moses wanted to see God's glory, and God wouldn't let him because it would kill him, but God allowed him to see the backside of him, all right? Think about this. I would love to see God's glory. I would love to be able to see him high and lifted upon his throne like you read in Scripture. But if I physically see him, is that really going to make my friendship better? Because remember, Thomas in Scripture would not believe Jesus had risen from the grave except he saw. And he was willing. Jesus showed himself to Thomas, right? He appeared in that upper room a second time and addressed Thomas. And Thomas said, my Lord and my King. And Jesus said,
You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those that haven't seen and believe. Again, sometimes we think if God would just audibly speak to me, if I could just hear God's voice like I hear my wife's voice or I hear someone else's voice talk, if I could just hear God's voice, it would be a lot easier to follow. And I agree. I tell God asked him many times before, Lord, if you just plainly speak to me, where I just hear you say, Troy, do this, it would be a lot easier. But then that's not faith, is it? Because I'm trusting in God audibly speaking to me instead of following the word that he's given, the written word. Now again, to be a friend of Abraham, our faith does produce a friendship with God because we learn that, you know what? God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God is always there. God is guiding my steps. And I want to be that friend of God. I want it to be known that I am a friend of God. And you might want that to be known as well to you because it means you have a real close relationship with him. It means that God is always thinking of you and God's always directing your steps and God's always doing something in your life. You're always spending quality time with the Lord. In Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. In Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10, by faith he, speaking of Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And one day we're going to see that city. One day we're going to be a part of that heavenly city. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 3 says, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Again, we know that faith is what saves. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only did Abraham follow by faith and Abraham produced a friendship with God, but his faith, along with faith, faith helps us to be patient. Again, I like the fact that I can take family vacations and I can drive in a car. Abraham didn't have a car to drive in. He didn't have an airplane to take the trip. Can you imagine sojourning? Because the Lord said, everywhere your foot lands, I'll give the land to you. Well, Lord, I'm happy with about 5 acres, so I'll map up 5 acres, I'll walk 5 acres. But everywhere, I mean, what you see the nation of Israel, if you see the boundaries of Israel right now, that's not the promised land. It was much larger, much broader. But that's all they have right now. But one day God's going to give them the entire land that he told Abraham he would have. But everywhere they walked, everywhere Abraham walked, God said, I'm going to give it to you. Let me just say this right here. Don't be content with what little you have in life. I'm not talking about material things. I'm not talking about house, car. I'm talking about your relationship with God. Don't be content with what little of a relationship you have with God. Desire more. Desire to want to hear God's voice even more clearer. Desire to even want to feel the presence of God in your life even more. Desire more from God. Don't be content with what little you have. Desire to have more from God, more of a relationship, more of a friendship with God, more faith, more faith. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. Hebrews 11 and verse 9. Not only do we need faith to follow, but faith for the journey, because the journey of life that we're in, again, has rough roads. It's got mountains to be climbed, valleys to walk through. Again, we don't know what we will face on our journey. But again, we're trusting the one who we're following. We're trusting the one who's guiding us. We're trusting the one who already knows the journey that we're traveling. He sees it. It's a wonderful thing that the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ who's with us, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? The one who is with you and traveling with you is also outside of time looking at your journey, and he knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything in between. So we're following the one that we can trust, the one who's guiding us, the one that knows everything we will face in life. And along this journey, he wants us to learn to trust him even when we don't understand. Trust him even when we're faced with difficulties we'd rather not be faced with. It never caught God off surprise or caught him off guard. It'll never catch him by surprise. He knows exactly what we will face on our journey, and he wants us to trust him and to follow him and to rely upon him. But we need faith for this journey, because the journey, like for Abraham, was going to be a long journey. It was going to be a tiring journey. It was going to be a journey with testings, as soon he will be tested with a famine that comes in the land, and he goes down into Egypt to sojourn there, and he asks Sarah to lie and say, "You're my sister," because he was afraid for his life that they would see his wife and kill him. So there's times where our faith is tested. Will we stay true to the Lord, or will we falter because we're afraid of what we're facing? Never be afraid. We're always tempted to be afraid of what we face in life, but when we get to that place where we're looking around and we're a little afraid of what's happening in life, we're afraid of what to do next, do the one most important thing, and that is look up. As the Bible says, look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Look up and say, "Lord, help my focus to be on you and not on what I'm facing, because I know that you see how I can get through this and you'll guide me through this." Again, Abraham had to have the faith to keep following the Lord and having that faith for the journey, and God has the same faith for us. Hebrews 11 and verse 9 says, "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." But by faith he sojourned. God told Abraham he was going to give him the land. Guess what? He never physically possessed it for himself. But it is a land that belongs to Abraham's, I'll say, family, his descendants, Israel. All right? God's going to give them that land in his perfect timing. It will be the land that God promised to them. Again, we live in a very instant age, again, where we like things instantly. I want my problem instantly taken away. I want the blessing instantly. I want the good instantly. That's why I like microwaves. That's why I was able to microwave some pizza this morning and eat pizza for breakfast. 25 seconds, that cold pizza was just the right temperature. I only had to wait 25 seconds. Now, that was a little too long. It should have been like 1 second. What I'm saying is we get into where we think, you know, things got to happen when I ask. God said, "Call unto me and I will answer thee." Well, Lord, I'm calling unto you and I want you to answer me now. But God's timing is perfect. As we travel this journey by faith, God's working on us. God's working our relationship with him. God is helping us through our journey. God's doing great things. There's things that God is going to test us and prove us over, but we have to continue by faith sojourning in this land. Again, we have a place that God's prepared for us. But when you think about Abraham, just according to Hebrews 11, 9, he traveled by faith. Again, faith, 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 faith. Faith is what's important. Faith is what pleases God. Unbelief is a sin. Unbelief is a sin. If I don't trust God, it's a sin. Now, I don't trust everybody in life. You would be a fool to trust every single person you come across. But you can trust God. God never fails. God's not a man that he should lie, so he'll never lie to you. He'll never leave you. He'll never guide you out into a wilderness and leave you. Children of Israel thought that's what God did, brought them out to the wilderness to leave them. And yet God provided manna. God provided water out of a rock. God provided for them. But traveling by faith, you've got to believe that God is on your side. Even when you don't understand what's happening in your life, you still have to believe God is in control. God is guiding my steps. Yes, Lord, I would like it to be different. Again, I've always said, you can be honest with God. Don't get to a place where you start demanding God and start telling God he's wrong. But again, God knows our heart. He knows our struggles. Lord, help me. I'm struggling in this area. I don't understand. I know that I don't necessarily have to understand to follow by faith, but Lord, you have to help me because I'm struggling. One of the tendencies, I think, with some people when they read through the scriptures is to think that the people that are named in scripture were somehow super Christians. They were people that were not your average person, but they were just average people. Abraham's minding his own business, and God says, okay, follow me. I want you to leave where you're at, and I want you to follow me, because I'm going to make a great nation from you. And I want you to just travel. I'm not going to tell you where you're going until you get there. You just go. That's traveling by faith. In Genesis chapter 12, if you're back in Genesis, look at Genesis 12, verse 9. We travel by faith, but our faith is tested because the scriptures tell us that our faith is more precious than gold. Our faith is more precious to God than earthly gold. God wants our faith to be tried. He wants it to be strengthened. He wants it to be built upon his faithfulness, his trustworthiness. And we can trust the Lord, but our faith is tested. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And I told you a minute ago, this is where he gets his wife Sarai to lie and say, you're my sister. All right? He was afraid. His faith was tested. Was he going to trust God even during this famine and going down into Egypt where he was thinking they're going to kill me for my wife? So he kind of faltered. I mean, he didn't want to die and got Sarai to lie and not going to hold count. I mean, she gets taken, but God keeps her safe. All right, God keeps her safe. Nothing happens to her. What I'm saying is there's times where our faith is tested and there's been times probably where you have faltered. I faltered and kind of went with what I thought was right and ended up not being right. And then God gently reminds us that, look, falter towards me. Always default towards me because I will bring you through it. I will protect you. I will guide you. I will bless you. But again, when you think about our faith, a faith that cannot be trusted cannot be, or I'm sorry, faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. I don't like tests. But I know, you know what? You got to have a test to see if you've learned anything. And sometimes God allows the test to come in our life to see if we've learned to truly trust him, to truly follow him, to truly rely upon him. Like I was telling the men yesterday during our little Bible study before we got working, I told them that there are times in our life where we may not want to deal with something. We may want to, you know, just say, well, you know what, it doesn't really affect me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm just not going to do anything about it. Everything in life affects us in some degree. In some degree, everything in life affects us. But we have to always lean upon the Lord. We don't always have to understand, but we do have to remind ourselves that God is in control. I can trust him. Even when right now I'm a little tired, Lord. I just don't understand. And Lord, I know that you know what's right. You're the one that's called me. You're the one that said you're going to make a great nation, speaking of Abraham, a great nation. You're going to bring me to a land. And Lord, I am like 900 miles away from home in the desert, and I just don't see it. I mean, I'm looking around. I just don't see how you're going to bless me. Again, that's where we look up. And Lord, you said that you were leading me, you're guiding me, so I'm trusting you. I'm following by faith. But a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. As God tests your faith, he's helping you and me to grow in our faith and to be resolved in our heart to follow him consistently, constantly, every day. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 again, just about done here. I want you to think about very quickly just three tests that Abraham had to go through and we go through as well. Because like I said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Many people have their faith in other things, but your faith in God will never fail because you're trusting the one who never fails. You're trusting the one who holds your very life in your hand, the very one who actually planned out your journey and has planned out the path that you are walking on. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, again, there was a famine in the land. Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He had to have his faith tested. So it's a test of truthfulness. Will you be true to the Lord? Now, God's always true, but it's a test of truthfulness. Will I really trust what God is doing? Will I trust that God will take care of me? In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 10, Abraham's generosity was tested. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. His generosity was tested because when he came in to the land of Jordan, there his herdsmen, Lot's herdsmen, were fighting. And Abraham comes to Lot and says, look, basically, we don't need to be fighting. There does not need to be a division among our two families. We need to separate. The land's big enough, plenty enough for us. And here, Abraham, being the uncle, lets Lot choose. Let Lot decide where he wants to go. He tells Lot, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So just Abraham's generosity being tested because he was trusting God. Again, God already told him that, wherever you go, I'm going to give you the land. Now, it didn't end up so well for Lot because obviously Lot wasn't following the Lord. He was following his uncle. He was just traveling with Uncle Abraham. So he gets looking at the land of Jordan, sees it's green, it's well watered. He says, I'm going that way. Because he allowed his eyes to determine what was good for him instead of a faith in God. Abraham, well, what's he left with? He's left with the desert. But guess what? That's where God was. God was already there waiting for Abraham. And God was protecting and guiding Abraham. Again, there's times where our truthfulness to God will be tested. Our generosity will be tested with others. But also, our patience will be tested. Our patience will be tested. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 through 16 says, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, and east and westward. God says, look in all directions, right where you're standing. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. You know, God promised him that, and even on his journey, as long as his journey was, as long as he was sojourning in the promised land, yet he had to be patient. Had to be patient that the Lord would come through and do what he said, even when it came time for him to have a son. Had to be patient when God told him, at a very old age, you're going to have a son. Guess what? He didn't rely on his patience because he listened to Sarah. He has a son with another woman. And because of that, Israel has its problems today because of those nations that fight against Israel. When we think about just patience, patience is not something that we're great at least I'm not great at patience, but it's something that the Lord wants us to trust him by faith and just know. Again, I'm not very patient with what is, because this is something that's heavy upon me, and that is God's building. I don't want God's building to be in a disarray. I don't want it to be crumbling. And it's something that bothers me that I can't, you know, fix it myself. I'm being patient, letting God work things out. And again, it was a blessing yesterday to be able to have some people come and to help. And and others were going to come and they weren't able to, and I understand that. Just the fact that, again, this is something that is really testing my patience. There's just things in your life that really test your patience. It may be somebody. It may be something. It may be a situation that's really testing your patience. But remember, we have to, by faith, trust God. And whatever it is that's bothering us, cast it upon the Lord. And say, Lord, you already know how much this is weighing heavy upon me. I can't carry this burden. And Lord, you said that I could cast my care upon you, for you careth for me. I know that you care for me, and Lord, I am trusting you. Help me, Father, to learn patience. Because in James chapter 1, we're told, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, mature, and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. All right, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God promises to supply our every need, physical, emotional, spiritual. But it's all in his timing. It's all in his timing. We have to be patient with the Lord. We have to walk by faith. And I want you to notice something. Go to Genesis chapter 22. The reason why you and I can walk this journey of faith and overcome the unknowns in our journey by faith is, again, because of the one who walks with us, the one who has placed our feet upon the path that we're traveling. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham had to have the faith to follow God, where he did not know where the path was going to take him. But he knew the one who he was following. He had to have the faith for that journey. But also, he comes to a place in his life where God asks Abraham to give something back. And Abraham has to have the faith to sacrifice what God wanted. In Genesis chapter 22... you look at verse 1 through 3. There are many tests in our journey. God's testing our faith in trusting him, our faith in believing in God. Remember Hebrews 11, 6. We have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is something no one else has ever been asked to do by God. This was something that God asked Abraham to do, and God was testing his faith. And sometimes it's hard for people to read this and to think about it and say, well, wait a minute. Why would God be asking Abraham to do something like this? And again, God was asking Abraham to give something up that was near and dear to his heart. In Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 1 through 3, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Isaac was the one that God promised him. He's the one that he had in his old age. He's the one that he loved. The one that was near and dear to his heart. Whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's a hard thing when God asks you to sacrifice a child. But God wasn't looking for a human sacrifice. He was just looking to see if Abraham would be willing to do something that would be hard and to trust God in just even following God's direction. Again, God never asked another person to do this. Again, this is prophetic. This is also a picture of God the Father offering up God the Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for the world. Because when you read on, Isaac is willing to be that sacrifice. You don't see in Scripture where Isaac is fighting with his father. Abraham binds him, puts him on the altar. Read on, if you would, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, which is a sign of obedience, being quick to obey.
Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. So just this ultimate request of God wanting Abraham to basically give his son back to God as a sacrifice. This was something, a sacrifice was something that Abraham was used to, sacrificing and worshiping God. No doubt he had taught Isaac the same thing, that sacrificing, worshiping God, you being the living sacrifice, your life being consecrated, being separated unto God, because you read on, like I said, and Isaac is willing to be that sacrifice. He's willing to allow himself to be bound by his father, to be laid upon the altar. In Hebrews 11, in verse 17, the Bible says, by faith, again, by faith. The Bible's clear to let us know that by faith, Abraham responded to God and was going to do what God had instructed him to do because he was trusting God, though he did not know the outcome. But yet, by faith, he was trusting God that God could raise his son from the dead. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So again, being a picture of God the Father offering up his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, for the sins of the world. Here, Abraham's been asked, and by faith, Abraham responds to God, though he doesn't understand. He knows that God is not into human sacrifice, but yet he's trusting God because he knows, well, God gave me this son in my old age. He can definitely raise him up from the dead. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 4, look at verse 4. Then on the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Again, Isaac knew what offerings were. He knew. He had seen his father offer up a lamb for a burnt sacrifice to God. He saw his father worship. He was taught to worship God. So he knew. He said, well, here's the fire. Well, where's the lamb? I love what Abraham says. Obviously very prophetic. In verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Again, Abraham is just walking by faith. His whole life has been by faith since he's left his homeland, since he left his family. Walking by faith, trusting the Lord. His faith has been tested. And this is like the ultimate test. The ultimate test is to give back to God something that's near and dear to you. Again, God's not going to ask you to sacrifice your child, but he may ask you to sacrifice something very important to you in life. There's a song I heard, I believe the title is in Laying My Isaac Down. And it talks about, it's about what it is, making sure that something is not standing in the way of your relationship with God. Again, when you think about Isaac, something very, a life that's very precious, a father who loves his son, very precious to him. I mean, this is the son he prayed for, this is the son he wanted. God blessed him with this son. His entire inheritance will be given to this son, and yet God wants it back. God wants to make sure that Abraham does not love his son more than his love for God. And there are things in our life, again, it may not be a person, it may be a job, it may be material possessions, but there's things in our life where as we want to get closer to God and we're seeking a closer relationship with God, God's going to show us things in our life that we need to remove out of our life. It may not be that it is sin. It may not be what he's asking us to remove is sin, but it's something that would take up your time that could be spent drawing closer to the Lord. And there's a myriad of things. It could be music. It could be TV.
It could be a relationship with somebody, a friendship with somebody who necessarily is, they're not a believer. So their attitude, their thinking is always kind of hindering you from getting closer to the Lord. There's just different things in our life that can hinder us in our relationship with God. But again, when you look, as Isaac says in verse 8, you know, where's the lamb? Where's, or verse 7, you know, here's the fire, here's the wood, where's the sacrifice, where's the lamb? And verse 8, Abraham responds, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And he goes on to say, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I mean, he's just doing what God said. He doesn't, I mean, again, he doesn't understand, but he's trusting God. He's believing, as we read in Hebrews 11, God can raise his son from the dead. There must be a reason, must be a purpose why this is happening. I'm trusting God, but can you imagine he's got the knife in the air about to slay his son? I can imagine tears in his eyes. He's not happy about it. Imagine his heart's grieved and he's got tears in his eyes, but he's trusting God. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know Abraham, but I know if it was me, I would be able to follow the Lord in this if I was in Abraham's shoes. But I think for myself, I would be thinking, Lord, please, at any minute, will you just stop me? Tell me it's okay. But it's not until he has the knife in the air. Then. Because God doesn't bless half-heartedness. He doesn't bless half-obedience. He blesses wholehearted obedience. Look at verse 10. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Just notice, even in this unknown situation, he doesn't know why he's having to do this. He's just trusting God. Doesn't know how it's going to end, but he's still sensitive to the voice of God. That means he has not allowed bitterness to creep into his heart. He has not allowed doubt to steal away his joy of walking with God. He's in a tough situation, but yet he's still walking by faith. He's still sensitive to God enough to know that even though I'm sure he's grieved, I'm sure, you know, he's crying, because any loving father would cry, would have some feeling towards what's going on. But he's still sensitive. Listen, there are hardships, there are things we face in our journey in this life, but let's not let the things we face cause us to lose sensitivity to God's leading and God's voice as he speaks to us. Again, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Oh, I can imagine the relief that came over Abraham's face and the joy that leapt in his heart. Neither do thou any harm or anything unto him. For, listen, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. There are times where God will stretch our faith to the limit. Well, we will be at a place where we don't understand. We'll be tempted to just walk away because we don't understand. But yet God is tempting us at times. He's trying our faith. He's testing our faith to see if we will completely trust him when it's too hard, when it's something that is beyond our imagination. The ultimate request in Abraham's life was to sacrifice his son. But in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Again, it was a picture. There was a ram caught in a thicket. When Abraham looked up, he saw this ram caught in a thicket as a substitute. God had already provided a substitute. God had already provided a substitute for Isaac, but God still was testing Abraham to see if he was willing to just do what God said without understanding why, but trusting that it would all work out according to God's will. Now, you really have to ask God to help you to understand the scriptures this morning and how it really relates to you, because again, God will never ask you to specifically sacrifice a child like this. But there are things in our life, again, that he will say, are you willing to get rid of that to get closer to me? Are you willing to give up that to have a closer walk with me? There are things in our lives that do hinder us from getting closer. And like I said earlier, let's not be content with where we're at in our Christian life. Let's have a desire, you know what, I want to get closer. You're probably at a point in your life where you're enjoying your walk with God, where you're enjoying reading the Bible, you're enjoying praying, and you're just enjoying the things that God's doing in your life. But listen, there's so much more. Abraham had received the promised son. He received a son, his only begotten son, the one that God said that he would have, and no doubt he was enjoying that relationship. But God wanted to make sure that that human relationship was not going to get between him and his relationship with God. Again, there are many things in people's lives that they will give up to have a greater walk with God, and then there are some that will give up their relationship with God to have something more in this life. We always need to make sure that God is number one, because God was willing to give us his son. Again, John 3:16 tells us how much that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You and I have received life this morning through Jesus Christ. And there is so much more. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. There is so much more that we can have in our relationship with the Lord. The question is, do we seek after it? Do we desire it? Are we walking by faith and just letting God accomplish his will in our life? I want you to take your Bibles and go to 1 John chapter 4, and we'll end with this. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, again, overcoming the unknown by faith. First John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Again, when you look back at Genesis and you see the ram caught in a thicket, the ram being the substitute, and Abraham getting the ram and putting that ram on the altar and sacrificing that ram to God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that he might live through him, or that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Again, when you think about just the beautiful picture of the life of Abraham, who walked by faith, and his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. I mean, before the law, it was faith. And we understand salvation comes through faith, faith in Jesus Christ. But again, this journey that we're on, there's going to be things in our life that God wants us to remove, things that are hindering our walk with him, things that God wants to say, do you love me more than this? Remember when Jesus came to Peter there on the Sea of Galilee after Peter had denied the Lord three times, and the Lord specifically came to Peter and said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. The third time, Peter's grieved. He's like, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord knew Peter loved him. But Peter had to understand that he could not live his life and walk the journey that was placed before him without Jesus Christ giving him the grace, the strength, and the power to do so. We can overcome the unknowns in life by our faith in the one who's already given us the victory, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we all have our life to live. There's things that you face I'll never face, or things I've faced that you'll never face, but it's the journey that God's placed our feet on. We could easily complain and murmur and say, God, it's not fair. I don't want to be on this journey anymore. But again, we'll miss out on the blessings of God. We'll miss out on God guiding us, directing us, and speaking to us. We all have things on our journey right now we'd rather not face or have faced. But again, hopefully you and I can say, but there's been one with me the entire time, helping me, guiding me, directing me. And he's the one I want to get closer to.